If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. I'm Gail King with Anthony Mason and Tony DeCopel. Doctors say that Tiger Woods is recovering. That's the good news from serious leg injuries after that terrible car crash in California yesterday morning. This is the latest setback for Tiger Woods after more than a decade of injuries, multiple surgeries, personal struggles, and dramatic comeback.
Here's what we know about the crash. Woods was driving a borrowed SUV south of Los Angeles yesterday when he ran off a steep road and rolled down an embankment. Police suspect that the car was going too fast. Emergency responders had to pry the windshield off to get Woods out of the vehicle. Carter Evans is at Harbor UCLA Medical Center with new information now on his injuries. Carter, what everyone wants to know, and you may not know the answer to this, but how is he doing this morning?
Well, first of all, authorities say he's fortunate to be alive. And last night, Woods tweeted an update. They say that he put a rod, doctors put a rod into his leg and stabilized everything with pins and needles. And investigators did confirm that Woods was wearing his seatbelt, and that likely saved his life. They also say he did not appear impaired at the time.
After hauling off the crumpled remains of the SUV Tiger Woods was driving, investigators are still trying to determine the cause of the crash.
We have a rollover with someone trapped.
Woods was driving in a hilly area of a Los Angeles suburb known for accidents. Authorities say just after 7 a.m. Tuesday, his silver SUV crashed into a raised median, took out a sign, crossed over the southbound lanes, and traveled several hundred feet. The vehicle rolled multiple times before landing on its side in the brush. There were no skid marks, indicating he may not have used his brakes.
He was lucid and calm.
Deputy Carlos Gonzalez was first on the scene.
He told me his name was Tiger, and at that moment I immediately recognized him.
Woods is in town for his charity golf tournament, and on Monday he met up with former NBA star Dwayne Wade.
Got an opportunity to come out here with this guy right here, man.
The crash is the third serious auto incident for Woods. In 2009, his SUV slammed into a tree just days after revelations of infidelity that cost him sponsorships and landed him in rehab.
I am the only person to blame.
And in 2017, Florida police found him asleep behind the wheel.
Do you know where you're going?
No.
He was arrested on a DUI charge, blaming it on a reaction to prescription pain medicine for his back.
He got clean. He got healthy.
2 years later, he staged an incredible comeback, winning his fifth Masters 14 years after his last one. The 45-year-old is currently recovering from his fifth back surgery, and he told CBS's Jim Nance he's eager to get back in the game.
Final round of the Masters. You going to be there?
Gotta hope so. I got to get there first.
You feel like you'll
be? A lot of it's based on, you know, my surgeons and my doctors. This is the only back I got, so I don't have much more wiggle room left there.
Now, authorities say it could take days or even weeks to complete the investigation. An interesting note, the first deputy on scene was wearing a body camera, and it was on at the time. So you can imagine investigators are going to be looking at that video, and there is no word on when or if that video will be released to the public. Anthony?
Carter, thank you.
for a closer look at the injuries Woods suffered in the crash and his chances for recovery. We bring in CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus. David, good morning. Tiger's doctors describe his injuries as fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones. They say they inserted a rod into the tibia and his foot and ankle were stabilized with screws and pins. What exactly does that mean for him?
Well, you know, obviously this was serious trauma. He got taken to a level one trauma center, UCLA Harbor Hospital, which is an excellent hospital. And we're very lucky, and he's very lucky over that. You know, I have this little man here, and what you can see is this front bone is the tibia.
Yeah.
So tibia is the large bone you can feel in front of your leg, and there are two fractures in it where they had to put a rod in with pins on either side to stabilize this bone. And then here in the ankle were also multiple bones fractured where they put screws in and they're able to keep it stabilized for healing. The healing process here takes 4 to 6 months, but luckily it's done, the surgery now.
So you're talking about a 4 to 6 month recovery for these injuries specifically. We don't know, like he mentioned in Carter's story, that he has problems with his back. Do you think they'll likely be affected by this as well?
Oh, no question. I mean, it's not just the bones, it's the muscles. They mentioned in the press conference also that the muscles around the legs were traumatized, and so that caused swelling, and they actually had to put a slit in each of the muscles to allow the pressure to be relieved. So it's going to take a while to retrain these muscles, to enable these bones to heal over the rod, and to enable him to walk again.
So how long do you think that process could take, David?
It's only guessing. I mean, yeah. Obviously, I don't know all of the details, but we're talking at least 6 months of recovery here, you know, to be able to get to some semblance of walking, to playing a sport, to playing golf. I just don't know enough.
Yeah. All right. Dr. David Agus, thank you very much.
CBS Sports lead golf analyst at Sir Nick Faldo joins us now. He played on the PGA Tour with Tiger Woods and gave him, look at this picture, his first green jacket. That was back in 1997, the Masters. Nick, thank you so much for taking the time. You must have been relieved, as we all were, to hear the good news that he survived. What are you hearing from other PGA players yesterday and today?
Well, as you know, it's amazing with social media. It goes literally to all four corners of the world instantly. And, you know, exactly as you were all seeing, first of all, you hear it, we pick up the news, and you go, oh, my goodness. And then it goes, you see the vehicle just about totaled, and you think, oh, my gosh, or God. And then you hear he's gone off straight into surgery. And then we hear he's not life-threatening, so that's a good start. Vehicle quite possibly saved his life.
Yes.
With this back, I saw him walking on Sunday after he, you know, finished the prize giving, and he's walking very gingerly, obviously, after his fifth back surgery. So can you imagine being shaken up with that injury? You know, he's trying to repair that as delicately as possible, and then you're literally shaken up in a mixer for, 10, 20 seconds, whatever it was. So,
Nick, have you happened to heard where he was going or where he was coming from at the time of the accident? Do you know any details about that?
I believe he was heading out the door early. He was off to do a photo shoot, I think, for Golf Digest. He was seen the day before. He was doing some promotional stuff with celebrities, that sort of thing. So that's all I really know on that part.
You know, what can you tell us? Listen, we all know Tiger Woods has had personal and professional struggles on and off the golf course. He certainly is known for his resilience. What can you tell us about that? It's almost a bit of a Cinderella story, because I remember, and I'm not even a golf person necessarily, but I watched that match when he won and little Charlie came and ran into his arms. We'll all remember that moment. What can you tell us about his resilience?
Well, that was, for me, one of the most incredible things. You know, to go 11 years between winning majors is pretty rare, very, you know, off the charts. But to go through what he went through, the physical struggles, you know, four surgeries by that time to rebuild his golf game, obviously the life struggles as well, to maintain your nerve, to come back. I mean, his man, as we know, has got extraordinary, you know, mind strength. So whether he can pull through this, I mean, I would have thought he's going to start with, well, physically, I'm actually very fortunate to be alive. I just want to rebuild my body, maybe just 45 years old now. You know, Ben Hogan had this horrendous car accident in 1949, when he was 36. So, you know, at 45, you're kind of at the tail end of your career anyway. And to absolutely shake your body up like this, and as a doctor was saying, you know, seriously long rebuild, that sort of thing. Hey, if anybody's got the mental strength to come back, but I would have thought that this would be in stages. I've got my life. I want to look after my children first.
Exactly. Everybody says don't underestimate Tiger. I certainly believe that. I get so uncomfortable with all the talk of when is he coming back? How can he come back? We all just want to make sure he's okay and that he can walk again. What's your wish for him
today? Absolutely. You've got to start with life first. Hey, golf is second. And then competitive golf is possibly a long way down the line to rebuild, to be good enough to compete against. Especially, it's tough enough playing at 45 when you're playing against kids that are 25 right now. That's what he's trying to do. But after going through this, all we can do is pray for him and hope that he finds a way to rebuild himself. And, you know, if he does come back to be a golfer again, I think that would be quite extraordinary.
Yeah, right now we just want him back with his family. Thank you very much, Sir Nick Faldo, for your time this morning.
Sure.
We are learning new details about the investigation into last month's deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol. The evidence this morning suggests there were multiple failures to prepare and failures to communicate among law enforcement, despite warnings that an attack was imminent. Yesterday, we also heard powerful testimony from some of the police commanders about what they endured on that terrible day. Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill for us. Nicole, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. Most of the officials who testified yesterday have since resigned in the wake of the insurrection. They all agree this was a well-coordinated attack, but one they didn't see coming.
These criminals came prepared for war.
In the first hearing into the January 6th attack, former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund said he was unaware of an FBI bulletin released the day before, warning violent extremists could descend on the Capitol.
You hadn't seen it yourself.
No, ma'am.
That raw intelligence came from a Norfolk, Virginia field office. Acting D.C. Police Chief Robert Conti says it was sent by email.
I would certainly think that something as violent as an insurrection in the Capitol would warrant, a phone call or something.
An FBI spokesperson said the agency passed on the intelligence within 40 minutes of receiving it and posted it on a portal available to law enforcement officers nationwide. CBS News senior national security analyst Fran Townsend says the FBI had an obligation to make sure the Capitol Police were aware of the threat.
I think there's a real question, not just of their failure to pass the report in the right way, but why didn't they have it sooner? Why wasn't that collected earlier?
Do you think it could have made a difference?
I absolutely do. The Capitol Hill police would have had a stronger argument when they asked for the National Guard.
Sund claimed he was initially denied National Guard troops because optics were a concern. The former House Sergeant of Arms disputed that. Townsend, a former Homeland Security advisor, says more resources are needed for Capitol Police and that different agencies need to prepare together.
I do think what we've found in a post-9/11 world is exercises really matter, where you actually go through a scenario with the interagency. So I think you've got to now look at all the potential federal targets and do exercises so everyone understands what their responsibility is.
Another hearing will be held next week with Pentagon officials to dive deeper into some of those National Guard delays. And this afternoon, lawmakers will be briefed on the latest security measures by the acting chief of Capitol Police. Anthony?
All right, Nicole, thank you. Across the country, stadiums, concert venues, and sports arenas are starting to reopen as many areas see a decline in new coronavirus cases. About half the teams in the NBA are either playing in front of fans now or will be soon. The Brooklyn Nets had a live audience when they played the Sacramento Kings last night at Barclays Center, and Mola Lenghi was there.
L-E-N-G-H-I.
We started our day like every other employee who wants to get inside Barclays Center with a rapid COVID test.
How you doing? Tickets?
For fans, they're asked to bring along proof of a negative COVID test, taken no later than 72 hours before tip-off. And once arriving on site, undergo another test that takes about 6 minutes. The result delivered digitally.
Everyone will have on a mask.
Adina Irwin is the general manager of Barclays Center, one of New York's largest indoor venues.
We won't be in an arena full of fans. We'll be in an arena with 300 fans, and so everybody will be spaced out.
New York State health guidelines limit attendance to only 10% of arena capacity. Masks They're mandatory at Barclays. Security? Bag checks are now touchless. Food and drinks? They're all prepackaged. And they've upgraded the arena's air filtration system.
I liken it to 9/11. There's a lot that we still do that came out of that terrible experience.
New York, what's up? We're finally here, man.
A few miles away in Manhattan's Madison Square Garden, they welcomed fans back by the thousands.
We don't know what to expect. Never been to a game in a 20,000-seat arena with 2,000 people spread out, but we're going to find out what it's like tonight.
The game was a delayed homecoming for New York Knicks rookie Obi Toppin.
I grew up going to Knicks games and being the person in the stands.
Toppin, who was born in New York City, was drafted by the Knicks back in November.
Toppin, a three-pointer. It's good.
During one of the worst stretches of the pandemic.
To have the opportunity to play on the floor and have not only the fans but my family come out to watch me on that court, it's a blessing. New York is a basketball city. It's going to be amazing.
Well, as you can imagine, with only a few hundred fans allowed inside Barclays last night, it didn't exactly have the feel and the energy of typical live sports performances, but it did feel safe, as if nothing was overlooked from start to finish. So certainly an encouraging step in getting back to normal. As we mentioned, across town, Madison Square Garden allowed about 2,000 fans into their game last night under similar health safety measures as they did here at Barclays. And New Yorkers are hopeful that Broadway might be next, with a lofty goal of trying to reopen by the end of May. Gail.
Well, as you said, lofty goal, but it's good to hear that you felt safe, Mola. I say baby steps.
Yeah.
People just want to get out of the house. Thank you so much. There's a big shakeup at the organization that operates the Texas power grid following those power outages that endangered millions in the state. Five board members at ERCOT, including the chairwoman, are stepping down today. Lawmakers are calling for an investigation into why the grid wasn't prepared for that frigid weather. Tomorrow, energy officials will testify at the state capitol. The record cold, as you know, led to burst pipes, and many people lacked food and water for several days. Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and maybe more importantly, on your life. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.